It's a battle between Congressman Barney Frank and the Federal Reserve over the unchallenged power of the unelected regional Fed presidents. And until there's a confirmation process for this powerful group, Congressman Frank, of all people, wants to strip them of their voting power on monetary decisions. Should these Fed presidents have to answer to Congress? Here now to discuss with my Freedom Fighters, Fox Business anchor and my colleague, Liz Claman, Keisha Clark, Democratic analyst and lawyer, and Adrian Moore, Reason Foundation Vice President of Policy. Does it make any sense, Liz Claman, to have the presidents of the regional Federal Reserve banks, who as a unit form the Federal Open Market Committee, which has a lot of independent power, answerable to the Congress?
Well, answerable to the Congress, in a way, is not really the issue. What Barney Frank is saying is that they should be picked by the president and then approved by the Congress. And to me, this is just further politicizing what already was addressed in the Dodd-Frank bill, where, I mean, didn't we already deal with this, people, where the president is going to pick the New York Federal Reserve presidency, or at least weigh in on it?
Right.
Now you want to spread that out to other banks? Come on, it's taking too long.
Keisha, are you surprised that as big government a person as the Liberal Democrat Barney Frank is and has been, there's a little hint of Ron Paul in here, that members of the Federal Reserve shouldn't have as much power that they do, that the Constitution says Congress shall coin money, and so at least some of that power should come through Congress?
Well, first of all, Congress created the Federal Reserve, and right. also they monitor the Federal Reserve, so they're answerable to Congress. So the Federal Reserve cannot, on a blanket ship, go and make decisions without it being monitored by Congress. Congress can oversee their goals and objectives, and by doing that, can sort of control the decision-making process.
Adrian, is there something bigger here that we are actually talking about? Tinkering with the power of the Federal Reserve, a conversation which just a couple of years ago was considered fringe and outside the mainstream, and the proponent of this is Mr. Big Government himself, Barney Frank?
Yeah, I mean, it's if this helps mainstream the discussion about what role a central bank should play in our government and our economy, that's a great thing. Though I have to say, I think having you know, Congress is doing such a crackerjack job of the business it's already got. But yeah, let's give them control of the money supply, too. That'll help.
How different would the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which I know you have followed diligently, be if the president appointed and the Senate confirmed the president of that bank, as opposed to the present manner in which she or he gets the job?
Judge, it would never get done with a confirmation
right.
process that is mired in politicism. Give me a break. Already, a very smart MIT economist, Peter Diamond, had to pull his name out of the running because he was so opposed by Republicans on one side. Can you imagine if the president who were to appoint somebody were a Republican, then the Democrats would oppose them? It would just become way too politicized.
Keisha, as the lawyer that you are you offended at all by the vast amount of independent, non-transparent, unaccountable power that the Fed has when the Constitution says, as I mentioned earlier, the Congress shall coin money and determine the value thereof?
Right, but in the same token, the Constitution gave Congress the right to delegate that duty to the Federal Reserve, and they in fact did that. But in doing that, they also took the opportunity to be able to oversee the goals and objective. And so long as they oversee the goals and objective, price stability, inflation, and they make sure that those goals and objectives are being met, then I don't see a problem.
There's no oversight. I mean, the Fed has more money than the Congress does. If Ben Bernanke just gave away $16 trillion to European and American banks. Right, Adrian?
Right. Yeah. It's I mean, the problem, the answer to the problem here is not Congress does everything that it has the powers to do through agencies and bureaucracies. It doesn't manage any of it itself day to day. So that's not the problem. The problem
right.
is this the right? There's a lot of bureaucracies we should be getting rid of. And the Fed should be on that list.
Okay.
We need to radically reform that organization, if not get rid of it.
Switching gears, a new poll today indicates that upper-income Americans are less optimistic about the country's economic future than they've been since the height of the 2008 financial crisis. These are people who hire the workers and create the growth in the private sector. If they're uneasy, Liz Claman, are things worse than we thought?
Upper income earners feeling worried about the economy? Wow, Judge, they're just catching up to what the rest of the nation has been feeling for 3 years. Are you kidding me?
Only you could put it that way.
Are you kidding me? I mean, look, they got, listen, we all got the extension of the Bush tax cuts, which did favor higher income earners. And I'm all for the ones who make a lot of money creating the jobs in certain regards. I get that whole way of thinking. But I really look at that and I say, wait a minute, I don't think this is that, oh, they're worried about something the president's going to do. President Obama has talked a lot about clamping down on the wealthy. We haven't really seen too much yet.
Do you think that it's proposals like maybe we'll raise taxes, maybe we won't, we can't get the taxes raised when there's a strong majority of Democrats in the Senate, maybe we can get the taxes raised when there's more Republicans? Do you think instability, not being able to anticipate the future, is what upsets the money earners and the risk takers in our society?
No, absolutely not. I do not think it's the instability or the unknowing of what the future holds. First of all, it's been said, it's been told, it's all in the media, that there's $2 trillion, and I want to laugh when I say the word $2 trillion, that the corporate enclaves have where they can actually hire people. But right now, their profits are soaring because of two things. Number one, they're soaring because of the unemployed. They have the money to hire, but they're not, but they're selling the same supplies.
I get the argument. Adrian, what do you think about this? Are you surprised that the people who risk money are now looking at instability and they don't like what they see?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, first of all, for the last 3 years, so many of the policies, the bailouts and the financial regulations that the government has enacted have really been designed to shore up Wall Street. And who inordinately benefits that? Well, the wealthiest, who have money in Wall Street. So they've been somewhat insulated, but now they're starting to realize, well, maybe this isn't going to last. And maybe it's not working as well as we thought. They get a little more nervous about their wealth. At the same time, I think the fact that they're being day in and day out demonized by President Obama and the Democrats, saying we need more of these wealthy people's money, would make anyone nervous. To be in those crosshairs that will make you lose confidence.
Got it. Liz Claman, Keisha Clark, Adrian Moore, thank you very much for joining us, guys. It's always a pleasure. Up next, I'll debunk the myth. Keisha won't like this one.
No.
Of wealth redistribution once and for all.